Yeah. What else are they going to cook on their little? It's literally like a sheet, a metal sheet with fire under it.
It's probably unsanitary, and you'll probably be sick tomorrow.
Probably.
I don't remember getting sick from our whatever we ate last
no,
year.
No, we got lucky. Yeah.
You did see some things today.
Yeah.
I suppose we'll start this. This is E3 day two.
We're halfway there. Over halfway.
You're way past the halfway point.
Yeah. Well, for the convention
you're
itself.
You're coming around the home stretch.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, this was a really, really good day, actually. I messaged you.
Better than yesterday? You got to play Mario.
Yeah, I mean, Mario is amazing, obviously. But there was some stuff that genuinely impressed and surprised me today.
Let me guess. Today you saw Bethesda?
No, Bethesda's tomorrow.
No, that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Today you saw Destiny and Call of Duty.
I did, yep.
And those weren't the things that impressed you?
You'd be wrong. You apparently didn't read the message that I sent you that said Call of Duty was actually really fucking good.
Because I see that now.
It totally was. So Destiny was great. I had already played it at the reveal event, so it wasn't anything new. I had the same amount of fun playing it this time as I did before. But, heading over to Call of Duty was genuinely impressive. And, I mean, you know I'm not a huge Call of Duty fan. I've enjoyed the games before. I played Infinite Warfare. I thought it was okay. I thought maybe I'd play it a little bit after the review. I really didn't. But, man, Call of Duty World War II was very impressive.
How?
I was genuinely had an adrenaline rush as I was playing the game, and I was just genuinely having a great time, which doesn't happen a lot with game demos, especially for games that I'm not super into. I think it was just that return. I'm gonna spew catchphrases here, but that return to the roots of the series, that boots on the ground and hitting that World War II era, just brought back a lot of the fun that I had with the series before, like running around with an M1 Garand, just popping off shots. And I mean, we played team deathmatch. I actually played really, really well. Maybe that's why I enjoyed it so much. And I got a couple of kill streaks, which were pretty interesting in the way that they weren't super overpowered. I called in I got the second level, so I got to call in essentially a drone. It's really a spy plane that calls out enemies. And then I got to the level where you call in an airstrike that's just a plane flying down at whatever area you targeted. Enemies are kind of highlighted, and you have to shoot them with the guns of the plane before it has to pull out of the attack run.
You have to do that manually?
Yeah, yeah. I just had a blast. Like, I had a lot of fun. So we played that. We played three games. We played Team Deathmatch, and then we played the War Mode, which the War Mode is kind of a narrative driven Axis versus Allies mode, where you have objective after objective after objective as you're progressing through the map when you're attacking, and then the defenders obviously are just defending each objective as it becomes active. We had a lot of like tight objective runs where it was like we had to capture an area. We were down to like 10 seconds, I think, when we captured it. The second thing is you have to build a bridge. We were really getting slaughtered there because it's all funneling us, and they have overwatch areas on this objective that we have to run to and hold a button to repair the bridge. And the lady kind of had to grab a couple of us and like, oh, you need to switch your loadout. You need smoke grenades so that you can give yourself cover. So a couple of us switched to that, and that literally was like a last second thing that we got that. We were at 99% when I died, and I had to sprint back and dive into the smoke and finish it with like a second left.
How is that? Oh, so they got you hooked on the adrenaline part of that. Like, that's probably as good as it gets, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that was that was a really good match.
Yeah,
but like, I even playing that, I was looking forward to playing more like team deathmatch or anything like that. Just yeah, I got the itch.
Call dude coming on hard. You got the fever.
Yeah.
The fever for the Call of Duty. Oh, no, I mean, I hope this year is good. I'm not 100% sold. Like, I don't know. They were doing like a survey or something, and I was telling them that I wasn't sure about jumping back and forth between the movement mechanics. Is very drastic, right? It's fucking different than last year's game.
Yeah, but I think it's for the series was really running out of steam. I think even the most diehard fans by Infinite Warfare, even if they enjoyed it, it was just kind of, it was too much. It was hitting, it had too many mechanics, it had too much going on. I think that this trimming everything down, you know, not having wall runs, not having jetpacks.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the people who really got into that, unlike me, will miss those things. But for me, it was great. I loved it.
Yeah, they probably needed this World War II game last year.
Yeah. Yeah, this would have been a huge hit last year.
Because Black Ops 3, then it would have been Battlefield 1 versus Call of Duty in the same era.
Well, Battlefield 1's World War 1, but similar.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
One of those wars. So you got to see war mode. You got to play some team deathmatch. Mm-hmm. You liked what you saw there. What were you playing it on, PlayStation 4?
Yes.
Pro or?
I think so. They were tucked away behind a desk, but it looked good. It looked really, really good.
Yeah, they usually do.
Yeah.
They do usually look good. Anything else on that? Did you get to see the headquarters, or did you get to mess around with any of the loadout stuff? I know you said you switched over to smoke grenades. That's been kind of one of the things that people are, you know, wondering about is how they've changed up the class selection and the divisions within the game.
Yeah, the divisions was, sorry, I said loadout. I think I meant division. Okay. Yeah, the division is a big change where it's, we couldn't customize anything. I don't know if that's going to be in the final game, but in terms of the divisions, like, I wanted to have the M1, so I went with Infantry 1, which meant I had the M1, a pistol, frag grenade, and...
We've got them all. We've got all the E3 classes up on the site.
Yeah, so...
yeah, they got leaked on Reddit or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were explaining them to us, so I don't think that they were hiding too much.
Yeah, it's not top secret, but what is unclear is like whether you're going to be able to. There's three basic things. You've got like your division. You've got two division skills that one of them look like you could rank up.
I don't know. They didn't. Better. Yeah, they didn't mention anything about that.
Talk about the progression, and then one of them looked to be like a perk where you could use it on the infantry, you could use it on the airborne, or you could use it on the I don't know the names of the classes off the top of my head, but it seems like there's a little bit of customization in there. And then they allowed you said you could switch to smoke grenades, or you had to switch to a division with smoke grenades.
I had to switch to a division with smoke grenades, so I switched from infantry to one of the airborne's that had a whole different loadout, but that gave me smoke grenades, so it was worth it.
And that war mode, that was Was that like a 10-minute match, or was that something a little bit longer?
So our first one, we made it to the final objective and lost there just barely, where we have to actually escort a tank. So you have to have team members near the tank or it will not move forward. I think that's kind of like Overwatch, but it's been a while. That match went a little longer. That was probably a 15-minute match.
Is that run off of tickets? Like a Battlefield sort of thing?
No. Like it's a timer. It work? It's a timer.
Timer?
Yeah.
If you don't get X objective done within this amount of time, it's over?
Yep. Yeah, and you could extend it just a little bit if you were actively on. We plant one of, I think the middle one is that you have to plant a bomb. We had planted our bomb and the timer ran out, and that extended and let us, you know, defend it for those last couple of seconds.
And those are the. It was all multiplayer focused. Or did you get one of those sit down and watch the horrors of war?
Yeah, I had the presentation on single player. I've already seen it, and my impressions are already on the site. So if you, you know, want to check out some of the single player stuff, it went over a lot of it. It was that I'm not necessarily as sold on. It looked good. It definitely didn't look bad, but there were a few of those Call of Duty things that I'm not a huge fan of. The major, huge set piece action things where it was just
that
like,
that is Call of Duty.
Yeah, but for me, I'm just like, yeah. Do I need that? I don't need that.
You might need it after you get in multiplayer.
Maybe, yeah.
You might need it. You might become a Call of Duty head.
So yeah, I mean that was genuinely surprising how much I obviously it's a Call of Duty game. I mean, even if I'm not a fan of the series overall, like I don't buy them every year and play them for hours, I still understand that they're good games. So playing them is always enjoyable. But this was different. This was very different for me. I really actually had a very good time with it.
Hmm. You're not just lying this time. That's good.
No.
Anyone listening. Kyle, not
lying.
That's what I'm going to title the name of this podcast. Call of Duty is really fucking good this year. Fucking good. Not
no
lying
fibs.
This time.
Yep.
And did you get a chance to play Headquarters?
No,
or,
that's...
Or see Headquarters? Or...
Mm-mm. They talked about it, and I posted something with a little bit of their discussion on
that.
Yeah,
you already that was in a different event, right?
Yes, yeah. They went over it again here, but
I made some appendages to that.
Oh yeah, some edits.
Well, because they showed off some new stuff during like a stream where they've got like a firing range.
Hmm.
And some customizations. I'm assuming you can maybe draw dick pics and stuff, maybe.
I actually wanted to ask them, and we ran out of time in our Q&A about multiplayer cosmetics and how extreme they'll be, considering
they get pretty extreme.
More sensitive topic that they're dealing with here. This isn't a fictional war. I don't want to see German soldiers running around with pot leaves on their guns. So
yeah, I mean,
I they seem to be honed in on that. They seem to understand that.
What about a Snoop Dogg announcer pack?
Please,
for
please
the World
no.
War II. That'd be good.
Hopefully not.
Well, it wouldn't be bad. I mean, once everybody gets over it and they're just having fun with the game, that's usually when they put that stuff out, or when things are dwindling. Regardless, that's not the only thing you saw at Activision. You saw some Destiny.
Yep. More
Destiny
2.
And how much different was that than what you saw at the gameplay reveal that was just a couple weeks ago?
It was the exact same. It was even the same game mode and map.
Really?
Yeah,
it was. You played the same Counter-Strike type new multiplayer?
Yep.
And did they do the Spire thing again? Inverted Spire? Or was it just multiplayer?
It was just multiplayer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Really? They didn't do any story stuff? They didn't go into that at all?
Nope. Not for me.
Not for you. I don't know why they wouldn't. mean, they fly us out for these things, and I wonder if other people got, you know, I mean, that seems to be one of those things that we're like, people really want to hear about, right? Like, we know, I guess they told us enough during the gameplay reveal, like the quality of life stuff that's being brought to the game, the matchmaking or whatever you want to call it, guided groups.
Yeah. Yeah, guided games.
Guided games and the events that'll be on the map and stuff like that. I guess a lot of that stuff's out in the open, but I'd like to hear more about how that's going to come together to be more cohesive, I guess, right?
Yeah. Fortunately, did not get it. I got more info on Call of Duty than Destiny.
That's good, though, because I'm excited for Call of Duty this year. I really am.
Yep.
Well, did they let you take gameplay? No.
No.
Hmm.
Nope. Everything was locked up.
Hmm. And what'd you do after that?
I skipped something. I spent a full 2 hours at Bandai Namco. They had a nice selection of games this year. I hit them up every year, and sometimes they've got like one huge title and, you know, a couple of other good ones.
Yeah, this year was like Dark Souls.
Yeah, yeah. This year was a lot of really good games. Took a look at Ni No Kuni 2, which I will be working on a video later. I got to capture some video from that.
A beloved RPG, JRPG.
I'm a massive Ni No Kuni fan.
You're a Ni No Kuni fan?
Yes. I got the White Witch collection of the first one, which go for like $300 on eBay these days.
Noted.
Still have mine.
It's still in the plastic?
I opened it. I did open it. So
you put it in your collector's case?
It's on a shelf, yep.
You're lighted.
Yes. Actually, yes. So, Ni No Kuni 2, Dragon Ball FighterZ, I think is the full title, and Project Cars 2 were the big three. We did got a presentation on each of those games, and then there was some hands-on that I got to play all three of those.
So you played a good bit of Ni No Kuni, obviously. Yeah. You played through the whole game?
Yeah, definitely. Beginning to end.
So
I've saved the kingdom of Ding Dong Dell.
Ooh.
No, the demo was... There were two demos. I played one where it's a boss fight against like a giant fire dragon. The demo, honestly, like I'm still excited for the game. The demo was a little rough. I don't think combat is the best thing in the series. It wasn't great in the first one. It's completely different now, and it's still not quite good.
How is it different? What did they...
So the first one was kind of like Pokemon. You got these creatures called familiars, and they did the fighting for you. And it was real-time / turn-based, where you would essentially tell them, attack or defend, and they would attack as their turn came up. This is completely real-time. There are no familiars. There's instead things called... This is why I don't want you to even talk to me in the video of this. There's creatures called Higgledees that give you buffs and do different things for you. But they aren't... Higgledees. Higgledees. I think I said that right.
Higgledees.
But there are no familiars. You are doing the attacking.
It's real-time? Like real-time Secretum? Secret of Mana, like real time, or
you're running around on the map, hitting an attack button.
Hmm.
You have different.
I like that. I prefer that over turn based. Unless there's some turn based I like. I mean, I don't know who you think you're talking to, Kyle. I've played plenty of RPGs in my day, and I mean, like Persona. I played Persona 4 and Persona 5.
All right. I just figured
Ni No Kuni, I did not play the last game, but never say never.
Yeah.
But Higgledees, maybe that throws me down. Maybe it's a little. Is it for children? Is it for
no? It's
a
not.
Younger audience. Is there a more mature storyline? Or
I think it's an all ages thing because the first game. Do you know Studio Ghibli?
Yeah.
The Japanese animation studio. They were heavily tied to the first game. The studio is kind of gone now, but kind of coming back. No one really knows. What really got me back. You know, excited for the sequel was that a lot of those Ghibli people are working on this sequel. So even if the animation studio is gone, the people are still
that were working there
on this
are still working on the game. That's good then, because there was a lot of fans. That game got a lot of critical praise. I heard that game was long.
It depends on like there was an ending kind of partway through. I think. I mean, it was a pretty typical JRPG. I think I put about 40 or 50 hours in, so not excessively long for the genre.
All right. But you came away impressed with that?
Yep.
What about Dragon Ball? That seems to be getting a lot of fanfare here.
Yeah, they actually said that they were surprised at how excited everyone was. They knew that it was going to be a big game, but...
Well, Dragon Ball is a huge thing, right?
Yeah.
People love Dragon Ball. To get a fighting game, the thing is it good? There's been a lot of good fighting games lately. Mm-hmm. Mortal Kombat, Injustice 2, very good game. Mm-hmm. Tekken, very good game. Street Fighter, I don't know if it's a great game. I haven't looked at it in a while, but
I think the fighting system was good, but everything
the
else
fighting system
was,
is good. Everything else is broke.
Yeah,
but this is like a 3v3 fighting.
Yeah,
with all the crazy characters from the Dragon Ball universe.
Yeah, they've only announced 6 so far, but I'm sure it's going to be a pretty big roster. In terms of the fighting, I mean, it's the developer of Guilty Gear, and
that's a pretty popular series right now.
Yes, I think their Arc System Works,
yeah.
Yes, I just Googled it. I mean, they have a massive pedigree in 2D fighting and in this art style, this like colorful, almost cartoon art style. These are 3D models. It's not a 2D
game. Quite look like Guilty Gear. This
looked
like Dragon Ball.
Yeah, no, I mean,
this had a very unique, like, it looked like the cartoon.
Mm-hmm. It looks gorgeous. In motion, it looks amazing.
What'd it play like?
It played really well. I'm a terrible, terrible, terrible fighting game player. But I had a good time with it. I was playing someone else who was kind of a novice. So we tried to figure out some of the moves, some of the mechanics. By the end, I was kind of pulling off some decent stuff of, like, you can... It's, like you said, it's 3v3. It's not 3v3 at all times. It's
right.
That you
it's
have
like
three
got a
characters.
Marvel versus Capcom tag system.
Yes, you can swap out. You can call them in to do an assist move. There's a whole aerial combo system where you knock people up in the air and then you can do a bunch of hits. I don't think that we ever pulled any of that off, but
it's possible.
It was good. The characters all played really differently. They have unique animation, unique styles. Like Boo can, kind of stretch his arms. So I was able to use that to kind of keep my distance away from him. Stuff like that just fighting game fans really look for. I think this is just a fantastic mixture of genre and property. I mean, a Dragon Ball fighting game is probably going to be awesome no matter what. And this one looks like they put a lot of extra effort into it.
Yeah, it seems like they got the right team to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other thing you saw there, or was that
Project Cars 2?
That's right, Project Cars.
Yeah,
Project Cars 2.
Project Cars 2, the full sequel. They
Project
are...
Cars 1 was a good game.
Yeah. I checked Metacritic just to be sure because there was a lot of sim racers around then, and I couldn't remember which was really good. And I think Project Cars was well received by fans. But it seems like they're putting a lot into this. The way that they talk about it, and they're throwing shade on their competition. talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's a realistic, it's more realistic than most.
They're staking a claim that they're like, they're the most technically accurate simulation racer.
I don't doubt it. Yeah, I mean, there's some, there are some different racers out there that some people will point at that are more detailed. Like, I think it's like Assetto Corsa, something along those lines. It's like very, very simulation oriented. And to those people, like Project Cars is an arcade game. And then to Project Cars people, Forza is an arcade game. And to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's different, I think there's different levels of it, but I reviewed Project Cars when it came out, and I thought it was pretty good. They have it. I mean, they have the are they doing the VR for that one as well?
They're doing VR 12K on PC.
Well, I mean, what I'm starting to get at after playing so many racers over the years and is what it comes down to in realistic racers like these, they use the same tracks over and over. Like, there's only so many times you go, how accurate did you get Laguna Seca this time? You know, like, how accurate did you get the Nürburgring this time?
That came up.
I understand, because they've been doing it for 20 years now. Of like, well, we're going to recreate this as good as possible. And it's now almost 1-to-1. But
they apparently laser scanned the racing tracks down to the millimeter and used drones. They had to get police to cordon off some areas so that there wouldn't be people there. And they used drones to fly over and scan the area around the tracks to make sure that not only is the track accurate, but the surroundings are accurate. As he said, perhaps you use a tree by the side of the road to indicate when you want to break. That tree is 100% accurate to where it is in the real world. I mean, they're making the Matrix. I asked the guy, I was like, it sounds like you're making the Matrix for race cars.
Matrix for race cars. It is an accurate. Project Cars 1 was good. I assume this one's going to be good as well. Is this coming out to PC first and then out to consoles like it did last time? Or is it kind of like rolling out all at the same time?
I think all at the same time. They didn't bring it up, but they I'm pretty sure it came out to PC
first last time. And then, I don't even remember. Was that a Kickstarter? No, it couldn't have been.
It may have been. There was a racer that was a Kickstarter.
I don't remember. Either way, it was good. But that was that their major selling point on the second one, was it was just a more accurate tracks, accurate cars down to the
yeah pixel. more accurate, more tracks, more cars. They, you know, as they pointed out when they released the last one, they were kind of the new guy on the street. Little pun for you. And so they couldn't get some of the bigger car manufacturers, and now they've established their name, and so they have Ferrari and I'm blanking because it's E3 day too, but they have all the cars you'd want, I'm sure.
Except Porsche.
Probably not Porsche. Yeah.
Need a special license for that. Only Forza's got it.
Who are they throwing shade at? First people to see the 2018 Porsche. I hope you know and appreciate how important that is at the Xbox event.
Who were they throwing shade at? Gran Turismo and Forza?
I mean, they didn't name them, but they're essentially,
I'm not saying any names, but you know.
Yeah, they're pointing out like that their Project Cars' tagline was that they were the most technically accurate racer out there, and they're like, you know, I'm sure that some others may have even stolen our tagline. So, yeah, it's getting serious in the sim racing genre.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is serious because this one's coming out in the fall. Is that
I didn't write down when it's coming out, but that sounds right.
If it is, it's got a lot of competition. With Gran Turismo, Forza.
Yeah. Yep.
And Project Cars. It's a lot of racing.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of racing. After that, you went to Ubisoft?
Yes. That finished out my day. I was there for 3 hours.
Which you described as, let me see.
Don't quote me.
Let me see.
It was.
Interesting experience.
It was an interesting setup.
Were people dancing in the middle? And
Yeah. They had a Just Dance thing going on.
Non-stop.
Yeah.
Just constantly.
So I had a booth tour, which sometimes means that they walk you around the booth. Sometimes means that they have a special area. This had a special area, which unfortunately did not have very well ventilated air conditioning. It was very hot in there. And you kind of had to go around and get on the schedule for different games. But luckily I did get on the schedule for every big game and almost every game there. So I will just list them off and then we can talk about them however you want. Far Cry 5. Mario and Rabbids again, a slightly different demo. The Transference, which is the VR title from the Lord of the Rings guy. and also saw Assassin's Creed, obviously. Saw South Park, and I saw Skull and Bones. It was a very busy 3 hours.
What did you play?
I played all of those. That was all hands-on.
I'm most interested in Far Cry. What was that like?
It was like Far Cry. the guy next to me, actually, like when he finished his demo, the guy was like, "Hey, did you like it?" And he's like, "Yeah, it was Far Cry."
The trailer kind of showed like you using a lot of these different tools. Mm-hmm. Was that part of your demo?
Yeah, you got to choose when you first loaded up which of the three assistants you wanted. So there was the sniper, the airplane guy, and the dog. Obviously, I picked the dog, which was actually a lot more useful than I thought. Like, I figured it'd just be a standard kind of sidekick character. But what happened was it was playing the same thing from the E3 trailer, where he's coming up on the town and the cult people are kind of murdering people in the streets. So I was able to sneak around. I took out a couple of guys just using stealth. And then when I was like, all right, it's time to really take on the whole group, I could use the dog to attack somebody over in one area, and that would draw everyone's attention. And then I could kind of go around and, you know, take them out in different ways. So that was cool. I also got to fly a plane late in the demo. That was like near the end of the demo. Drove a car around, just kind of checked out the whole area. It's a huge map, obviously. It's, you know, that's what Far Cry is known for. I really enjoyed the styling. I like this whole cult thing. I think it's fascinating. And it had some funny little callback. There was a bobblehead of the bad guy from Far Cry 3, Vaz.
Vaz, yes.
Yeah. So,
a bobblehead?
Yeah, in a truck. So, I mean, that, you know, it's tough to pinpoint anything that's really that different. The series has really nailed down the formula.
Thematically different, right?
Yes, and
tonally
that is
different.
That is definitely there. I mean, I played Far Cry Primal. I didn't play I played Far Cry 3. I played Far Cry Primal. I didn't play 4 all that much. But this, it tonally, it feels a lot different. The whole being in America is different. Having a whole cult aspect. Like when I got into a truck, there was this very religious music blasting, which I found fascinating. I really enjoyed.
Skull and Bones wasn't playable.
It was playable.
It was. You played that?
I played everything I listed there. Yeah.
I didn't hear you say Skull and Bones.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
It was good. I still have some concerns that it may not have longevity. Obviously, this was a pared-down demo. It's not the full game. I couldn't customize anything or do anything like that. It was a lot of fun. There were a lot of tense moments. We won the first game. We lost the second game because of this cool, you know, when you load up and you take out NPC ships to get their loot, and then it's sort of a free-for-all for a little while. And if you die, you lose half your loot, and then they can pick it up. And you can see in real time, you know, which team has more loot. It goes up and down depending on who's died and who killed who. Once characters get a large amount of loot, they get tagged as a high-value target. You can see what each character has, so you can specifically work together to take some of them out. And there were three different classes of ships, like basically a sniper ship, a tank ship that was slower and did more damage, and a battering ram ship that was easily maneuverable. So we kind of had to work together as a team to make sure that we were split between the different types of ship. And then we just, you know, sailed around and attacked each other.
Now, how much... so, like, what goes into controlling these ships? Are you basically just steering it like a car, or is it, like... sailing a ship is a complex thing. You have, you know, you're in control of all these men on these ships. Like, is there a lot in the way of controls? Like, are you like, pulling down sails and sending guys up to look out for... to the lookout perch and, like... Is it all just press A to shoot these cannons? Turn the stick to get your boat in order and fire?
No, you kind of nailed it.
Or is it more complex than that?
It's not a sim. So it is simplified. But you almost hit it perfectly. So you have your sails, and you can raise the sails and have more sail to go faster, but that slows your turning. And so your commands are to unfurl the sails and to furl them up or whatever. I don't know the terminology, but yes, you do control that in a different way.
It's pretty fucking slim odds that anybody listening to this knows what the fuck they're talking about when it comes to sailing a pirate ship.
But yeah, you're controlling it like that. So it's not it's not A to go, it's A to allow your ship to go faster, but then you also have to consider the wind. So the wind you can see on the map, and you can use that to either, you can slow yourself down using the wind, or you can steer with the wind at your back, and that's going to make you go a lot faster. And that does play into the gameplay. Like, our second match that we lost, we were just barely behind them. And at the end of the match, as you saw in the E3 demo, pirate hunters show up. They're trying to kill everyone, and we have to all make it to the escape. And anyone who makes it to the escape, that their loot counts for the score. So since we were barely behind them, we just needed to take out one of their top guys. I was trying to chase one of them, but because we both had the wind at our back, and he was outside of my cannon range, there was no way for me to catch him. Unless I had had a faster ship, but I'm pretty sure he was the sniper, which is pretty fast. But yeah, you also do go up into the lookout. That's how you just kind of get a good look around, because when you are steering the ship, there's a lot of junk in front of you blocking your vision.
But this is not like an open world game where people are jumping in and out of matches. When you queue up for a match, you're going up against specific people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least in this mode. I don't know if there's going to be an open world thing, but I don't think that they mentioned it.
Yeah, it just seemed like when I was watching the trailer, it seemed like, oh, you might have been battling these guys, but now these people are coming in and they're going to try and stop you and steal the loot or whatever. I don't know. It just seemed weird because they mentioned like seasons. So they obviously have big plans for this game that stretch beyond a single year. I don't know if they'll do it like they did with Rainbow Six Siege. They've seemed to have some success with that game. So it's like, are they going to try and do that with everything? Because aren't they doing pretty much the same thing with For Honor?
Yeah, and I was going to say it feels like For Honor.
Yeah.
In the way that it's set up in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. I like that setup. I think people... I don't know. I haven't played For Honor. I played a little bit of it at PlayStation Experience a while back. But I never played the full product. But I think they've kind of got that cadence down for their downloadable content where they see like, well, I think people like this. Because they don't have to pay for downloadable content. We can charge people if they want it early, and we can throw all the microtransaction shit in there and they don't care.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's got to be like the psychology behind it, because I think a lot of people are just willing to say, okay, well, whatever, unless it breaks the game in a way, you know, mm-hmm. unless they're selling things, which they haven't been, that break the multiplayer experience in that way. But yeah, I don't know either. The sailing in Assassin's Creed 4 was good.
I'm guessing it's similar. I did not play Assassin's Creed 4, so.
Well, the beautiful thing about it, Kyle, is being at home, I can watch all the streams, and that's what I've been doing. So, yep. They have apparently built this game from the ground up. This is not just, you know, the Assassin's Creed engine. You know, they have built this from the ground up. Obviously, it's inspired by it,
mm-hmm.
from what Ubisoft has been saying, but, yeah, this is... I mean, you could definitely see that was the case. But,
yeah,
I mean, that one looks impressive. I don't know. Like, when I look at that, I go, oh, I don't know. I don't know about this. I don't know if I'd sink any time into this.
Yeah.
That's a pretty niche market. Like, pirate sailing multiplayer game.
Yeah, and it was kind of...
Don't you think?
It was kind of tough playing this after Sea of Thieves and not comparing them.
Well, right. We'll see if Thieves is something completely different.
It is, but at the same time, if people are interested in a multiplayer pirate game, these are the
sea
two.
Sea of Thieves is like more of an adventure.
Yes.
Like a create your own life of a pirate sort of thing. Sea of Thieves is something totally different. Maybe people won't understand that, but... Skull and Bones. It's not out till 2018 anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, this was a really light demo. We just did a quick tutorial and loaded up into a multiplayer match. So I'm anxious to see what else is layered on here. I don't know that I would play this over and over again, but if there were some other modes, some other interesting gameplay mechanics, then I could definitely see it working really well.
Can your ship sink in the middle of like the match?
Yes, you lose half your loot and then have to wait to respawn.
Oh, that's right. I saw that. Well, that seems stupid. If you should just be like a last man standing sort of thing, like if your ship goes down,
I mean, they probably have.
You should be out of the fucking match.
They probably have a last man standing thing. There just wouldn't be any loot though.
Who cares? Yeah. That's where Sea of Thieves gets it right. You jump out, you swim down, you get the loot, you bring it back on your ship. Not saying you're doing a bad job, Ubisoft. I'm just saying. Okay, we're not even going to talk about Mario and Rabbids again. Do we need to?
Because no.
I don't want to talk about Mario and Rabbids again.
It was just as enjoyable this time. It was really fun. That's all we need to say.
I mean, I guess that will bring the strategy genre possibly to more people.
I did ask him. They've apparently been working on this for 3 years. Yeah. And then I asked him how he felt about the fact that it got leaked couple of weeks before before their big announcement, and he was like, "Yeah, that was a little upsetting because they, you know, they had kept the secret so well." Yeah. And then it just comes out.
Like a retailer or something.
Yeah, somebody got a hold of the images for the game. And he did answer my question about if it's an RPG. It has some minor RPG elements, but no, it is a strategy game. That's what it is.
Yeah. What is that virtual reality game? Because the trailer that they showed it at their press conference did not really explain what that thing was.
So the transference. So this demo is not an actual part of the game. It's more of giving you a feel for the game, of what the game will be. And it's an experience. I mean, that's, you know, when you look at VR games, sometimes they're not necessarily what
good.
Some people would call a game. It's that you are... Sure. This was good. I enjoyed it. But that's... This is my thing. I like this sort of experiential thing. And so what this demo was, you know, you're supposed to be diving into the mind of a troubled person, someone who has PTSD, and you're going right into the experience that gave them that trauma. And you're kind of piecing it together. There was a really cool mechanic, though, where you're bouncing between two different time periods. And, you know, you do that by turning off the light. Anytime you turn off the light, you go back to 1993 or forward to, I think it's 2003. And you're essentially just putting together the mystery of what happened, what traumatized the person, using objects in the environment and clues and stuff like that. So the gameplay is just walking around picking up objects, but there's a few puzzles. There's a few different pieces to put together.
Was it very stylish? I mean...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was really stylish. There was a lot of... Because
what they showed there was, like, super stylish. Like, mm-hmm. Was their trailer better than the game?
I mean, so parts of the trailer, they had us watch a video before. So, like, this demo was a whole thing. It was experience. A whole presentation. Yeah. And uh-huh. I think that the point of that is because we're not playing the whole game. We're playing not even a portion of the game. We're playing a special thing that they made to give us the feeling of the game. So I get what they're trying to do is convey what you will experience with the actual game. So will there be those, you know, live action videos and stuff like that? I don't know. It was part of this, but not like we watched it on a screen and then we put on the VR headsets and played the game. And apparently this isn't VR only. They are going to release a non-VR version.
Oh, really? So what were you playing that on? PlayStation VR?
Oculus.
Oculus.
Using the touch controllers, they will be releasing on Oculus, Vive, and PSVR, though.
Are you an Ass Creed man?
I am not an Assassin's Creed. I tried to get in. I own a lot of these games, and I played a decent amount.
You're just collecting them?
Yeah. Well, I bought a bundle. It was one of my first Steam sales. I bought a big bundle.
Fuck it.
You know,
$15.99 for Assassin's Creed 1, 2, Brotherhood,
yeah, 3. I've tried to get
Syndicate.
Into them.
I don't remember. There's so many of them. So many Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever disliked an Assassin's Creed game. I didn't get into them too much. And then
I have. Assassin's Creed 1. It was horrible.
I thought you really liked the Assassin's Creed games.
I do like the Assassin's Creed games, but Assassin's Creed 1 was shitty. It was not good. Yep. You had like four zones. You did the exact same thing in each zone. it was like a very good proof of concept. It was for the time. Little did we know in 2007 or 6 or whenever that came out that, I mean, the first Assassin's Creed introduced some very interesting concepts. First of all, the way that it was told, the story was told, and the ending of that game was a good setup. But what the game was actually was not good. And it took them many iterations in the series to kind of get that stuff right. And I don't think they always got it right. They didn't. I think some episodes they got really right, and like the story elements were great alongside great graphics, and they fine-tuned the controls and the fighting got better, and they added things like ship combat, and they added, you know, these very, very cool scenarios. Like the revolutionary time period was cool. The Brotherhood era, you're meeting with you know, these historical figures, and like they really did a good job in some of those games. Like I'm a fan for sure, but I don't know. I was getting tired of it with Syndicate. I think I was getting tired of it ahead of that. Doesn't mean I don't have fun with those games, but it's hard to judge how good an Assassin's Creed game is in a 10-minute demo. What did you see when you were playing this thing?
Yeah, I would agree. It was I saw potential, but you know, playing it was like, okay, so I go over here and talk to this guy, and then I go over here and do this, and then I come back, and then I kill him, and then the mission's over. But you know, you can see that this is a huge world. I looked at the map, and it's massive, and the areas were interesting that I saw, you know, these smaller towns, because it is ancient Egypt. So, I mean, you know, it was interesting. I rode my horse around, climbed some buildings, assassinated some people, fought some people. There was there was an open world demo, and then an arena to show off some of the combat, and combat seemed fine. So if there were some issues before,
That arena was a multiplayer or a single player?
Single player. It was just kind of a wave combat thing.
Horde mode?
Yeah. Less horde mode, more just like, well, defined.
I've been watching streams for the game. For me, it looks like I've probably watched in the last 2 days maybe 3 hours of Assassin's Creed footage. Mm-hmm. It looks awesome. It looks like there's more, you know, RPG elements to the game. The era seems like a fresh take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been moving forward with that series for so long that like going back to a different era seems like the right move. I always was looking forward to like a now Assassin's Creed. Like, it's all now.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of people were looking forward to. I know there was the whole Desmond storyline, and people thought that maybe it was leading up to a...
Yeah, they really gone... They're like, we can't keep going with this, because if we have to keep making these. So yeah, we've got to... Let's twist out of this and go start another branch of this storyline. Some of them haven't even been connected to that at all. Maybe one day they'll bring it all back together and come full circle, but... You know, I don't even know where the story is right now, to be honest. But they had some really interesting stuff in the early games that was all tied together really well.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes. It's hard to tell. I mean, it's definitely not coming out in a 10-minute demo. What I did see was, like, it's got different elements of different types of games now. Like, so they've kind of drawn some inspiration from, like, the things that people like about Far Cry. For instance, like letting animals loose in these open cities and doing
stuff. There were a lot of animals around. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that stuff looks super cool. You're going through the water and you start fighting a hippo.
Mm-hmm.
You collect their skin or whatever to make
Yeah, you get like leather and stuff, and you can use it to upgrade some of your items.
Well, those are Far Cry mechanics, you know.
Yeah.
So, I could see them. You know, a lot of the inspiration. Some of the inspiration. They're saying, well, what did people like about this game? Let's put that in here as well.
Yeah.
A lot of those games are starting to mash together, right? Like the Far Cry, Assassin's Creed. Skull and Bones. They're all.
It's the Ubisoft formula.
We have an engine. We have a formula, and we're sticking to it. It's just one giant game that they piece off into different franchises.
Yeah.
But then they have their other shit. Did you see The Crew or play The Crew, or did you just like, nah, I'm not fucking with this?
I didn't. Yeah, I missed it. I didn't have time for another game, and I figured The Crew was worth skipping for me.
Oh, The Crew's next? I got an appointment in two minutes. Can we get done in 2 minutes?
Till 6 p.m. They were closing the doors. All right.
Oh, you sure you can't leave it open just a little bit longer for me?
I
really wanted to see The Crew, too. Seriously. Oh, you got airplanes? Fuck.
By the way, damn. Assassin's Creed, according to the person that I was... that was walking me through the demo, was playing on an Xbox One X.
Woo!
I didn't know until he said
you got to play an Xbox One X. Did you? Were you? Did it blow your pants off? Were you like, whoa?
I thought it was a regular Xbox One until he said something.
Really?
It could just be it's a game under development. So
that's not. Yeah, that sucks.
I don't know.
You haven't been following any of this stuff. Being at home during E3 is pretty fucking cool.
Because
you get to follow, like, all the news.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Sony has been saying some really weird shit. Like, you heard about the cross-platform?
I did, yeah.
Stuff?
Oh, they gotta protect
and how Sony's
it.
Like, protect whatever. The
kids. We gotta protect the kids.
Nintendo, they gotta protect the kids. They just actually apparently don't want to use Microsoft servers.
Yeah.
For that. And, I mean, that was your last appointment for the day, that's right? So we're done with Ubisoft?
Okay. South Park, which is amazing, hilarious. My God, they do not censor anything. So, is that
basically the same game as the Stick of Truth?
Felt very different, actually. The superhero mechanics, the fighting thing is very different.
They had a pretty good system in the last game.
Yeah, it still has some of the tone from the fighting, but it's still different. It worked really well, though. I think the fighting may be better in this one. Than the last one, which the last one was built by Obsidian. This is an Ubisoft developed game directly.
I thought this one was still Obsidian. Hmm.
No, Obsidian's out. I mean, for me, this game is all about.
It's still an RPG, though, right?
Yeah. But all of the gameplay stuff, as long as that works, I'm really just interested in the story and the humor, and it was there. I was in a strip club, and there was a lot of interesting things in there. I'll try and write them all out.
There you go.
Just to kind of convey the insanity of this game. But that was it. That was the last. Unless I'm forgetting something.
That was it.
The last game.
Well, I mean, Ubisoft had... I think a lot of people thought Ubisoft had a pretty good lineup this year.
They had a great E3, I think.
Yeah. And, Sony was... Back to the Xbox thing. Sony has been doing these interviews where they're like, yeah, well, most developers are probably just going to develop down to the least common denominator, so... PlayStation 4 Pro should be fine. We're not worried about it.
I mean, they're not wrong. That's what happens every time.
Like they were saying that, I know, they're not wrong. But they're like, well, the PlayStation 3 was more powerful than the Xbox 360, but no one developed, you know.
That's
no
one what developed,
I utilized the power for that. It's like, well, that's because that thing was a nightmare to develop for, first of all.
Yeah.
And now you all have the same architecture.
Yeah, they seem to be describing the Xbox One X in different terms than just a more powerful console. It's like, it's a console that just takes your games and runs them better.
Right.
By default.
The Path of Exile team came out and said it took them an hour. Hmm. 1 hour to port their game to Xbox One X.
So, yeah, I mean, if that's true, then we definitely will.
That's a headline I read on the internet. It could be true.
There's still a lot of
maybe
questions.
It was 1 day. I hope. Maybe it was 1 hour. I don't know. It was one something. One short period of time.
some time unit of one.
One unit of time that was one that seems short at first glance.
I think the big question for Xbox One X is, are there enough people out there that were interested in 4K, had 4K displays, either a TV or a monitor, and are willing to plunk down $500 that didn't already go ahead and build a PC? But with that said, at $500, this is, in terms of performance, an amazing deal.
I am
so, if they can genuinely hit those marks that they're talking about, it's a good console.
You've already got people like Digital Foundry coming out and saying, there's a lot of some checkerboarding going on with these games.
So I didn't want to bring it up because the game is under development, but if I actually was playing on an Xbox One X, I did notice that things in the distance were really
not like they look like on PC.
No, they were doing something to make things render differently. They were losing focus, losing resolution, losing textures in the distance, and not like way off in the distance. Like noticeable in the distance. But a game is under development. That could all go away. So just because it came up.
We'll see. We'll see. What do you got planned for tomorrow?
Oh God, tomorrow's super busy. It's not the big stuff. At least so actually it is. So tomorrow I go to WB, check out a bunch of Lego games and Shadow of War. I don't know that Shadow of War is hands-on. I think it is not.
That sucks.
I go to Crytek. I go to Konami to check out Metal Gear Survive, the non-Kojima Metal Gear game. I go to Square Enix for a game that I don't know that they ever let us know what exactly it was. It was an unannounced game that I think has been announced.
At this point, I don't think they're waiting for you, Kyle.
I wonder if it's Life is Strange, probably. I check out
probably Life is Strange, the prequel.
Mm-hmm. Check out 505. I think that they have some interesting games. They've got the Kickstarter Castlevania game. And then Bethesda closes out my day.
All right. What time are you staying tomorrow evening? Or are you hopping on a plane back to...
I am hopping a plane at...
Sunshine State.
Right around midnight. So...
Okay.
I will have plenty of time to get some food, go to the airport, maybe record something.
We'll record something. Yeah.
I don't know.
On the road, reporting. Yeah. Got to get these podcasts out, Kyle.
Yep.
Good. Well, then that's going to do it for day... two official of E3 2017. We'll have some of the things we talked about on our website, attackofthefanboy.com, at some point. Mm-hmm. At some point. Some of the Call of Duty stuff that we talked about is up there already because we saw that over the weekend. Maybe look out for Kyle's Ni No Kuni flight to Dumbledore this video this, on our YouTube
this
channel.
This is why. This is why.
On our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fanboyattack, which he apparently doesn't want me to be on.
Because I don't want to make you fun of it.
You ruin everything.
You do.
You ruin it. Okay. It's a serious. Yeah, keep an eye out for that, because Kyle's going to seriously discuss Ni No Kuni 2 with you. And perhaps we'll have some Dragon Ball Fighter.
Yeah, I did some over the shoulder footage. I'm not sure how to work that into something.
Yeah, throw it up there. Throw it up there. Or send it over to me. I'll throw it up there. It's up to you. But yeah, you can check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fanboyattack or attackofthefanboy.com. For Kyle, I'm William. Thanks for sticking with us through E3 and listening to this one, which is an extra long podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.